Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, sweating my ass off.
Yeah, it's like 92
summer
here.
Summer has arrived. Summer has arrived.
I think the whole Southeast is like baking this weekend.
Yeah, you know, global warming, but that's fake news.
Well, it's a good thing that, the South is going to be run by nothing but Republicans then.
Yeah.
Especially now that we're in hurricane season.
Well, I think that's great. Well, and, you know, and they're going to get rid of the property taxes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, you know, that'll be great.
That's a big thing here, too, that they're trying to get rid of property tax and state income tax. And I'm like, how are you going to fund anything? Like literally, that's where all the funding for the fire department and the sheriff's department and all that shit comes from. So who's paying for that?
Right.
But, you know, I need to find like an acre in like the Mojave Desert somewhere, like near the mountains. Just disappear.
Disappear. Write your manifesto.
I mean, I had a good run in society.
Yeah.
I think it's time to, you know, disappear.
You know, and it's not like society's doing us any favors.
Very true. Very true. But at least we're not in New York for when they're going to close down half of Manhattan so that Trump can go see a fucking basketball game tomorrow.
Yeah. You think it's really going to be him and not some decoy? Because he's really just sitting in a wheelchair drooling on himself after the last stroke.
Oh, who knows?
Who knows? Now that he's lost his you know, Great American State Fair, because everybody's dropping out except for diehard people nobody wants to see.
You mean like Vanilla Ice?
And his, yeah. Well, and yeah, and that idiot doesn't understand why there's controversy.
No,
dude, you were relevant. What, 35 years ago? 40 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, he had one hit, and he was in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. Like, that's all I really know about fucking Vanilla Ice.
He had a home improvement show for a while.
Okay.
So yeah.
Is that like, what was his name? David Lee Roth. Wasn't he like an EMT for a while after like Van Halen went away?
Yeah. Can you imagine having like some kind of medical episode and David Lee Roth shows up?
All coked up out of his mind trying to take your blood pressure.
Right.
Oh my God. Actually, that might be worth the fun of like whatever's going on. I mean, if you survive, that's a story you tell forever.
Yeah.
So I'm laying there having a heart attack, and who comes in the front door? David Lee Roth. That would be crazy.
It would be surreal.
So are you going to, instead of the concert, are you going to go up and see the big rally that they're going to do?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'm going to, it's, you know, something I travel for, that and to see the new swimming pool. I hope the wave machine gets put in first. So
it's Trump and Lee Greenwood, you know, America's fighting team.
Yeah. Another one hit wonder.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you my Lee Greenwood story?
No.
So when I was living in Arkansas, the company that I worked for was the production company for the Branson, Missouri Veterans Day, council. So in Branson, Missouri, they did a big parade, and then they did, a couple of, theater shows with like musical reviews and all that kind of shit. And they were giving an award to Lee Greenwood. So It's me, another camera guy, and my boss are standing on stage with Lee Greenwood as they're going over the award ceremony with him. And he starts to complain about how small the award is. And like, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, and at that point, I think I had heard, what is it? Proud to be an American or whatever the fuck the song is.
Like, God bless the USA.
God bless USA. Like once or twice maybe. And so I was like, mm-hmm. Who the fuck is this guy? And like, he was such a fucking diva the entire time that I was just like, fuck yeah. You, dude. Like how do you have an attitude like that when you have one fucking song?
Right.
Like I couldn't, if there was a gun to my head and they said, name a second Lee Greenwood song, I wouldn't be able to name one. But Jesus Christ, man. Like the fact that that's like the song of MAGA is just fucking retarded.
Right.
But yeah. So fun.
Well, we got the big, what is it? The UFC fight going to happen on the South Lawn?
Yeah, but did you hear the I guess they have found out that where they built the stage is there's like a large swarm of gnats that they can't get rid of, which is just like poetic. And like, right. Like people were like, oh, maybe they'll cancel it then. And it's like, no, I want to see footage of the, like people running from the giant gnat herd or,
oh my God,
cloud or whatever the fuck it's called. So yeah,
that would be funny.
I mean, everything he touches turns to shit anyway. So what is yeah. it matter? And I guess it came out that they can't sell enough tickets, so that they were going to try to get the military to show up. But
the military had to meet certain yep. like appearance.
Yeah, it was
prerequisites.
Like, it was like what they call it, like shoulder waist ratios. So like basically they're saying no fatties. And
right.
And, but like they all have to pay their own way. They all have to put themselves up in a hotel somewhere. But like they're trying to fill it with military people because they can't get anybody else to fucking show up and they don't want to embarrass right. the orange turd. So what a bunch of fucking,
I don't think he even knows what's going on around him anymore.
No,
I don't think so. I think he's gone.
Well, hopefully.
It's just like they did with Reagan. They keep propping him up because they're making too much money screwing people to admit that something happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the world we live in. Have you been watching anything new?
We are 6 episodes into Spider-Noir.
Okay.
Have you seen the show?
I've been through the whole thing in color.
Okay. Whoa. Why did you choose color?
Because that was the first thing that came up when I hit play on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
So I'll go back and watch it in black and white because I need to rewatch it.
We've watched it all in black and white.
Okay.
We're still 2 episodes from the end, but like, it's way better than it has any right to be as like a Spider-Man TV show.
Thank you. Yes.
It like mm-hmm. when I first heard that they were going to like, so Nicolas Cage had voiced the character in the animated Into the Spider-Verse or whatever right. that first movie was. And when they said that they were doing a live action show and that he was going to be in it, I was like, he's going to be way too over the top for this show. Like, I don't know what their vision for this is, but like, I am so pleasantly surprised. Like, he is the perfect person to do this live action.
Right.
you know, the everything from the way it's shot, the noir elements of it, the thirties detective, like everything about it is pitch perfect to every kind of cliche that they're hitting with this.
Right.
It's amazing. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's an amazing TV show.
I love it. I mean, there's so many throwbacks to the old, you know, film noir stuff and Humphrey Bogart and, you know, Jimmy Cagney. And I saw people saying that it's like, you know, there's too many inside jokes. And it's like, yeah, but this isn't your typical superhero story.
No.
It's got to go in a different direction. And it's like, you don't get to see his powers until, is it second or third episode in?
Yeah.
When you see him shoot the web at the door?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, you know, I mean, they didn't do anything that was like, oh, we got to make this, you know, box office gold. We got to hit all these buttons. It was like, no, this is the story and this is how we're telling it. And I thought it was really great. I thought it was great. I love the soundtrack. I hope they release it.
Yeah, even like Brendan Gleeson, I was like, that's a big actor doing a kind of a tongue-in-cheek comic book villain role. And right. He makes you believe he's dangerous in the situation. And even like Flint Marko and the guy who plays Tombstone, like, it's not campy at all. Like it's handled with great care of like the characters, and you know, that doesn't turn them into a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could have very easily been like Sandman was just this stupid character that turns into sand. But like,
right.
You know, you see the pain on his face, and there's reasons why they all have powers. And like, you know, even Ben Reilly, like even in his backstory, you're like, that is all like, besides the half man, half spider that bites him, which was
right.
A little campy. Other than that, like, okay. Like I believe that like the Germans in World War I might have been like doing weird experiments on people.
Oh, they definitely were.
Yeah. So like all of it's plausible, and like it's handled in such a great way that it doesn't necessarily feel like a comic book TV show.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, and everybody's great in it. The woman who plays the singer who plays Kat, Hardy.
Yeah,
you know, she's great. She's believable. She's not your average, like, what do they call the women that always need to be rescued?
Damsel in distress.
Damsel in distress. Yes. You know, she's not your typical damsel. Like it's all fucking great. I mean, I really hope that they've signed Nicolas Cage on to several of these. Because,
well, it kind of feels like they've got the opening there.
Yeah.
That, and if this was a one and done, I think they did a really incredible job with it. But yeah. I think there's still an opening where they could explore this even further.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I just thought the whole thing was great. It's I loved it. I loved some of the camera shots. I loved the look. I mean, if like those Humphrey Bogart, Jimmy Cagney movies had been made in color, I think that would have been very similar to how this looked in color.
Okay.
And obviously they didn't, because, you know, we didn't have color film back then.
Right. I'll be interesting to hear your take on the black and white, because we've only watched it in black and white. And
okay.
It's interesting because I don't feel like it's true black and white. They're okay. Always, and it's not sepia, but there are There are moments when the background seems to have just a tad of like gold in it in some ways to like, to like separate them from the background.
Right.
So I don't necessarily think it's true black and white. I think it's stylized black and white. But every like gangster detective movie from the 30s that you've ever seen, this they've studied them all to take cues on how to shoot this.
Mm-hmm.
And then add in, you know, like Spider-Man on top of the cars going down like alleyways and shit.
Right. Yeah, I really loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully there's some more to come.
Maybe they'll spin it off and take other characters in that direction. Do like an Elseworlds kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Spider-Noir was cool when he showed up in the animated movie. Mm-hmm. It was a little different because in that he's Peter Parker and not Ben Reilly. And I had read something that because the character smokes and technically, I don't remember whether or not he kills people early on or he leaves them for dead or whatever, but Marvel was like, yeah, Peter Parker doesn't do that. So you guys cannot use the name Peter Parker, which is why he's Ben Reilly, who technically in the comic book is Crimson Spider. And he's actually a clone of Peter. So,
he's a clone of Peter in the past. Or is he in current days as
I thought he
Spider
was
Noir?
No, Ben Reilly in the comic books is Crimson Spider. And he's red and blue in that. But like he doesn't look exactly like Spider-Man. And I think Spider Noir was an idea that they had that they brought through into the animated film, but I don't necessarily know if there was a Spider Noir before the film. Oh, that's cool. If you type Spider Noir into Google, it turns the screen black and white and it rains.
Ooh. Oh, look at that. That's kind of cool.
So apparently there is a Spider-Man colon noir from February 2009 was his first appearance.
Okay.
And he was Peter Parker at the time.
Oh. Now I'm going to have to search out that comic.
Apparently the big bad in that was Norman Osborn. And then he goes to fight Nazis in World War II.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not really, I guess it was the whole smoking and killing people that made them change the name. But who knows? It's funny, the Wikipedia page mentions nothing about the... Oh, there it is. Okay. This version is Ben Reilly, a private detective who gained superpowers after being bitten by a mutilated half-spider prisoner. World War One. He subsequently changes his name to Ben Reilly. His original name is unspecified in the series. So he might be Peter Parker that has changed his name.
Okay.
But who knows?
There's a story this week that Tom Holland was pushing for a R-rated Spider-Man after seeing the new Punisher movie. And he wants to like be on that level of street fighting vigilante bloods guts.
But that's not Spider-Man though.
No. Well, it'd be like a standalone kind of thing.
Yeah, but
no, you're just afraid you're going to age out soon.
Well, homeboy's 30. I mean, he's playing like what, 22 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Maybe younger.
Yeah. I mean, he was in high school and, the first one. Right. Yeah, I don't think you can do that with Spider-Man. Just because that would destroy the character in the eyes of like the young fans.
Right.
You know, but the Punisher was built for that kind of thing where I don't think that they'd be able to do that with Spider-Man. He'd have to be a different character.
Yeah.
Or it would be the end of his run as Peter Parker.
Right.
You know. Spider-Man, much like Batman, doesn't kill.
Right.
I mean, even as far as like the other movie franchises, you know, in No Way Home, when all three Spider-Mans were together, and they stop Tom Holland's character from murdering Green Goblin with his glider.
Yep.
That's within, you know, the character of Spider-Man, because they were like, yeah, even if you want revenge, you can't kill.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know how they would handle an R-rated Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What have you been watching?
Well, I actually ventured to the movie theater this week.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The Mario movie?
Friend at work who has seen Mandalorian and Grogu several times got tired of me saying I haven't seen it. So he bought tickets and said, we're going.
Oh, like, nice.
All right. I had not been to a movie theater since maybe Dial of Destiny.
Okay.
So we went to the big theater at AMC.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that they have like kind of like opera boxes. So there's like two tiers above the main audience that just have single rows of the recliners.
Oh.
And there's like a low wall in front of you. So it's like, you don't even see the audience. You just see the screen. It was like really cool.
Oh, wow.
And it was like my friend and myself and then some random guy. And, it was actually a really good experience.
Okay.
I was surprised.
Wow.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it felt like a movie, though, because it was kind of very episodic.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why Sigourney Weaver chose this role other than she gets to pilot an X-Wing.
Yeah.
I liked Rod of the Hutt.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it was, you know, for what it was good. It takes the story further. I think Grogu is too cute. Yeah. I was kind of waiting for him to use his force powers a little more than he did. Love the fact that Zeb was in it.
Yep.
and Filoni and maybe a little too much Scorsese.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, okay.
I think, you know, I think what they were trying to do was build a movie that did not require you to have sat through three seasons of a TV show.
Right.
You understand that he's a Mandalorian and he's a bounty hunter. And he has this little cute sidekick named Grogu that can use the Force. And that's all anybody really needed to know. You know, if you had watched all the other shows and watched Rebels, then you know who Zeb was and how that's a cool addition to this and how him and Mando are kind of like partners in the beginning. And, you know, there's like, they get the Razor Crest back. And I think the addition of Sigourney Weaver was like, we have Pedro Pascal and we would like one more big name star that could attract an audience. And between Alien and Ghostbusters and Avatar, there is a science fiction lineage with Sigourney Weaver that,
sure,
that sells tickets. And I think apparently what she had said was she had read the script and she said, I will only do it if you write me a scene with Grogu. So that is why there's a scene where they're at the table together.
Right.
But I agree. I feel like it was a very long TV episode and not so much a movie.
Right.
But I do feel like Favreau was able to balance the action with some comedy, with some like big set pieces, in order to tell a fun story that's not, you're saving the galaxy.
Right.
I think a lot of the movies that have come before, that's what they're going for. It's always, everything's in peril. We have to stop whatever. And I feel like this was them saying, no, it can be a smaller movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the huts, I don't know if those particular huts that show up in Book of Boba Fett.
Yes.
Because
they're still referred to as the twins.
Okay. Cause I thought somewhere that I had heard that they were like married or partnered or something, which is why I didn't know if it was kind of the same.
Weird, because that's, I thought they were the ones that we'd seen before.
Yeah.
And then when they kept calling them the aunt and uncle, it's like, oh, maybe these are different.
Yeah,
it's like, well, no, they can be the aunt and uncle and still be brother and sister.
Yeah, true. If they were brother and sister of Jabba.
Right.
Because Rhoda is Jabba's kid. But yeah,
these are the same ones, because they're okay. The ones who sent Black Christenton to kill Boba.
Okay.
In Book of Boba.
And they never saw the Mandalorian in that. Like, they only knew of Boba in that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's a fun Star Wars movie that probably should have been put on Disney Plus.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a perfect summer kind of movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was fun. It was light. It had some big effects moments, but it's not anything earth shattering.
Right.
It doesn't change anything. You know, it's not Schindler's List. It's like, it's just doing what it was supposed to do. It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
And that's all it needed to be. You know, I mean, I love the fact how Rada keeps following Mandalorian around and decides he's going to stay on the base with them. And I was surprised that Pedro didn't have his mask off more, because I thought with all the complaints that he was airing earlier in the series that, you know, he didn't want to be just the voice, that they would have found a way to work that into it.
Yeah, I also think that the suit performers getting top billing was was a way for them to say that, like, yeah, it's not like I assume that, like, Pedro probably, his schedule is probably fucking nuts, and that mm-hmm. he only had a few days to film whatever he was going to film without the helmet on.
Right.
And, you know, when you see him get the helmet removed in the trailer, and so that they could say, look, Pedro's in this movie, I felt like, well, that undoes all of season three from The Mandalorian, because yeah. he spent that whole time trying to become a Mandalorian again. And all they had to do was add that one line where they were like, well, we've seen your face. And he's like, not if I kill you. And I was like, mm-hmm. problem solved. Okay. You know, and that's well within the realm of Mandalorian. Like, he has murdered people. Like, he's not, you know, he's not necessarily like the squeaky clean good guy. So, you know, but I do think that, like, for what they had him for, you know, or the time that they had him for was what you see with him with the helmet off. And then, you know, I don't know whose idea it was to give Brendan Wayne and the other guy, like, billing next to him, but that was a bold, classy move, because that would never have happened anywhere mm-hmm. else. So. But yeah, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you went out to the movies.
Yeah, definitely a must see.
So the little area by yourself, is that more per ticket? Is that like a surcharge?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was worth it. And there was a lot of people there to begin with, but
yeah,
it still was, you know.
So how many seats
nice
were
nice to
were,
not have to deal with people?
How many seats were in the little area?
Maybe 10, if that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it great view of the screen. I mean, I usually sit towards the center on the floor, but this was good too, and I'll keep that in mind.
Nice.
Because I'm thinking of going to see He-Man.
Oh, are you?
Because I've seen it's getting good reviews in that it's just another fun movie.
Okay.
It doesn't try to be more than it is.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll see.
Look at you going to the movies.
I know, right? Being social and shit.
The world is coming to an end. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
You watch anything else?
Watched, yeah. It's on Apple. Mm-hmm. It's called Widow's Bay.
Okay.
And it's got a kind of a cross between a Stephen King thriller, and it's not really horror, but it's also got oh God, what's his name? Well, it'll come to me. So this guy is the new mayor of this island that's got a curse on it, and his father before him was also in the same role. And there's stuff that happens.
Okay.
you know, it's one of those deserted island kind of horror tropes.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's a storm and you can't get off the island. And, but it's, I mean, it's only 8 episodes. It was a kind of a quick watch. I don't know. Might be worth checking out.
Okay.
Might not.
Okay. According to Google, it is a comedy horror. No?
I didn't feel a lot of comedy in it. Oh, Stephen Root. Stephen Root. That's who I was thinking of. Yes.
Okay. He's not running around asking for a stapler?
No.
No.
He was crazy old man.
Oh. He does that very well.
I guess it's... Yes, he does. So on the topic of Stephen Root,
yeah,
I have been rewatching News Radio.
Oh, okay.
And I still like it. I think it had some really talented people before they became assholes.
You mean like Joe Rogan,
Dave Foley, Joe Rogan, Andy Dick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the situational stuff is just hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, there's an entire episode where Jimmy James has bought a toy factory, and they have this thing called the Looney Ball or the Zuni Ball or something. And it's a ball you toss around, and it makes noise and giggles. And then at some point, it's like hot potato.
Okay.
You know, it'll have some kind of sequence it goes through, and then if you're the last one who's got it and, you know, it goes off, then you're the one who, you know, loses the game or whatever. And it's like takes up the whole episode. And it's in the background, it's in the foreground, it's yeah. I mean, Stephen Root is genius, the way that he can go from one character to another and you totally don't even know it's him.
Yeah.
You know, from Man in the High Castle to Office Space.
Yeah.
To this.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those underappreciated actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had kind of forgotten how much of an asshole Phil Hartman's character was. But he's just your typical spoiled featured newsman, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm like almost through season 2.
Okay. I started to watch The Burrows. I really like it.
Yeah.
I have like 2 episodes left. He's always had some comedic roles, but oh my God, what's his name?
Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina, I don't know if he's playing a straight man. I don't know if that's what you would consider him. But he's really good in the role. Like he's mm-hmm. the grumpy old man that's being forced to move in to this area and like hates all the neighbors. And he reluctantly starts to like befriend them and stuff. And, I was all like, you had said that Bill Pullman was in it, and I was like, cool, I love Bill Pullman. And then, like, he's done by, like, what is it, like, second episode? And I was like, oh, man. But, like, Gina Davis is great, and, like...
oh, yeah.
She's still hot for her age, which, like, I kind of feel like... What did she show up in? Was it Glow that she... like she popped up in, and like she was like heavier and stuff, and like she hadn't appeared to like age very well, but like in this, she's looking really good. And it's like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And I love the little Easter egg that when, Alfred Molina goes to the storage unit to find the owl, he pans the flashlight across a shelf, and sitting on the shelf is the idol from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
And I was like, that's funny as shit. Like, you know, that it was like his first movie, and here he is like all these years later starring in a TV show. And like, yeah, it's really good. I'm very glad that I started to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, supporting character. I mean, Alfred Woodard is really good in this.
Yeah.
Jane Kaczmarek, I thought was really good in her part.
Yeah.
Ed Begley Jr. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's well done.
Yeah. And it's nice to see that Netflix can still produce some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they've said that they are not going to take anything to theatrical anymore.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, but they've been able to work with some really decent directors by throwing in a theater for a couple of weeks. And I'm sure those directors are just like, well, fuck it, we'll just go elsewhere.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think Guillermo del Toro is going to have a problem selling his next thing to another studio.
Right.
But it could hurt Netflix, so I don't know. Who knows? Also this week, I started to rewatch some John Hughes films.
Okay.
The first one that I watched was Breakfast Club, and then I watched Pretty in Pink. And it's interesting watching him in 2026 because there are a lot of things that are problematic in him that are just comedy then.
Okay.
And like, you know, my kid is a product of the 2020s, and like, she's very aware of like, you know, all of the things that she should be looking out for. And like, there's a huge joke in Pretty in Pink about like sleeping with somebody who's passed out from drinking. And like, that would never fly today. And
like
you look at those things and you're like, I know I found these funny when I was a kid. I don't know if I just didn't understand what the jokes were or whatever, but like, you know, there's the scene in Breakfast Club where Bender's hiding under the table. And Molly Ringwald is wearing a skirt, and he like puts his head between her legs. And I was like, holy shit. Like that would be so wrong today. So I don't know. I don't know. I think that like nostalgia for the things when we were young colors a lot of the stuff that was just like super wrong in these movies. And you know, it's weird thinking about like John Hughes was an adult writing these scenes and
for young people.
Yeah. And probably should have known better, but I don't know. Like watching 16 Candles, I was like, yeah, this shit's wrong. And like, I just like, I'm just going to watch this for nostalgia's sake, but like, that's not something that I want my kid to watch.
Right.
Like, and it's weird because like, she wants to watch some of the stuff that I grew up with because she's like, well, if you liked it, maybe I'll like it. But like this shit, I don't want to show it to her because like, you know, some of it's just wrong.
Right.
And definitely
it's like, kind of like you have to frame it up the right way and explain.
Yeah. But even in like Breakfast Club, where like there are such stereotypes, every single kid is a stereotype. And, and like high school kids are just not like that, but you know, in order to get that point across, it was just, you know, the jock and the priss and the burnout and the brain and whatever the weird girl's problem was. And, you know,
burnout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else did I watch this week? I watched, did you ever see Crazy Stupid Love with, Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell? It's actually a pretty good film. It's, I have been trying to, watch Ryan Gosling movies because I feel like he's a very underappreciated actor.
Okay.
Ever since like Project Hail Mary and Blade Runner and First Man and a couple others, like whenever I see a Ryan Gosling movie that I haven't seen before, I'll sit down and I'll watch it because like Homeboy's a really good actor. And like, I think a lot of people sleep on it because like, you know, everybody just considers him like the heartthrob or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do feel like he's got a lot of acting chops and like, so I've been kind of searching it out and, this was like 2011, I think Crazy Stupid Love came out. So, you know, it wasn't too far off of the 40-Year-Old Virgin. So it's a lot of that type of Steve Carell humor.
Okay.
But like basically the movie starts out where they're at dinner, him and his wife, who is, oh God, the redhead from, oh God, she was in Big Lebowski and the second Jurassic Park movie. I can't think of her name.
Second Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're at dinner and they're married and she basically, he's like, how's your food? And she's like, I want a divorce. And like, that's how the movie starts. So like he's newly divorced and he's lonely. And like, so he meets Ryan Gosling at a bar and Ryan teaches him how to pick up women. And then like hilarity ensues basically.
Okay.
But it's a fun, like romantic comedy that like, I don't watch a lot of those, so like it's always fun to like stretch into areas where I'm not like familiar. I mean, and it's full of cliches and like, you know, it's the formula of like something happens, he learns some skills, he fucks up, and then there's a redemption at the end. Like,
okay.
Like typical Hollywood romantic comedy shit, but like, Ryan Gosling's really good in it. Steve Carell's really good in it. Marissa Tomei's in it. Julianne Moore. That's the name of the woman.
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore plays his wife. And Emma Stone is in it.
Okay.
So it's pretty good. If you like the chemistry of Ryan and Emma in, what was it, La La Land?
La La Land?
Yeah. And didn't they do another movie together? I thought they did like three together. But Crazy Stupid Love is the other one.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a, it's fun. Did you hear we're getting a new Ghostbusters animated TV show on Netflix?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
No?
Yeah.
How come?
Well, I don't know. It's like we're getting the new animated Firefly too.
Yeah.
It's like, are they going to be able to like spark the same magic, or is this just the only way these old people are going to get to reprise their roles?
Well, I think in the case of Ghostbusters, I think while Frozen Empire was a decent swing, I think it misses a lot of the times. There's a lot of things in that movie that probably should have been left on the cutting room floor, and a lot of stuff that was shown in trailers that aren't there that looked like it would have made the movie better. And I don't know if that was Sony. I don't know if whatever that was, but I think basically Sony probably was like, well, you can do something animated, but we're not going to do any live action shit anymore. So like, if we want more Ghostbusters, I think this is the way it's got to go. And I, yeah, you know, with Firefly, I think with them being, with all the actors being as busy as they are, and like, you know, if you want more Firefly, we've got to do it animated, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to get everybody together in a way to do any more episodes.
Right.
You know, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Ivan Reitman's kid, Jason Reitman, is like in charge of all the Ghostbusters stuff. And he didn't direct Frozen Empire, but he produced it. But at least like some, there's some original DNA in there, to guide the franchise forward. But
okay.
I don't know. Hopefully it doesn't, it's got some, the Ghostbusters thing has decent animation and not like, I don't know. Some of the shit that I've seen recently looks really bad from an animation standpoint.
Right.
And hopefully, it won't be that bad.
Well, I liked what they did with Creature Commandos.
Yeah.
I liked the Marvel What If. So hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, I loved Maul, so like if they did something that looked even remotely close to Maul, like that would be fucking amazing. But who knows what the budget at fucking Netflix is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you watch anything else?
No.
No?
No.
You have anything else for this week?
We had some celebrity deaths.
We did?
We did.
Who died?
We had like three that stand out.
Oh. Where was I?
Maybe. I don't know. First one was James Handy. Character actor. He was the exterminator in Jumanji.
Okay.
Did a lot of character stuff. He was murdered by his girlfriend's 44-year-old son.
Holy shit.
Yeah. He was stabbed to death, found in the front yard of their home, unconscious.
Have they said
and
why?
And the the son who killed him said, "I am the son of man. I just killed the man of sin," when he called 911.
Okay.
So yeah, that's kind of bizarre.
He's banging my mom, and I didn't like it. Jesus.
We lost Peebo Bryson.
Oh, that's right.
R&B yeah. singer.
Yeah.
He did the pop covers for Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin for Disney, kind of
yeah.
resuscitated his career.
And then fell off into obscurity again.
Yeah. He suffered a stroke a few days before and then he died.
Jesus Christ, man. Strokes yeah. and heart attacks are like, seems to be the way everybody's going these days.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one was, Anthony Head.
Yes.
Giles.
Yes. From Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a damn shame.
Yeah. complications from pneumonia. Only 72.
Jesus.
I guess he was also on Ted Lasso.
Oh, okay. I wonder if he had filmed anything for the new season.
Doesn't say.
Have you ever watched Ted Lasso?
No.
No, neither have I.
Nope. I know people who are like diehard fans, but it just doesn't really seem to interest me.
I feel the same right. way.
Same.
All right. Well, anything else for this week then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is kind of weird.
All right.
This is an article from the National Catholic Register.
Okay.
So, a Archbishop exorcist for the Catholic Church has been removed from his post because he made comments correlating the existence of UFOs to demonic activity. So you're telling me that this organization that believes in, you know, the big guy who looks like Santa Claus sitting on his cloud up in heaven, and believes that there's evil out there because they actually have exorcisms that are officially sanctioned,
mm-hmm.
have removed this man from his post.
Jesus. Huh.
I just thought that was incredibly weird. Apparently he plans to continue his ministry elsewhere.
Of course he is. Because they're all willing,
bizarre.
They're all willing to pay that money.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it is.
Jesus. So he's trying to preach to not only the diehard believers in possession, but also the UFO nuts and like the flat earthers and all those people.
I don't know if it's even preaching. I think he was just making comments and they didn't sit well.
Oh.
So the church says no.
I mean, so wouldn't you think that if exorcisms were real?
Well, they are, of course.
Okay. But why, right? In this day and age of cell phones that record video, standalone film cameras, all this shit, why would the Catholic Church not make some of this stuff available to prove the existence of God, to prove the existence of demons, to prove anything that what they're saying is real? Why all the secrecy?
Yeah, well, it's power.
But you would think they'd have more power if everybody would believed in the same thing.
Oh, no. Being divisive is where the power is.
You would think that, like,
you don't want everybody to believe the same thing. Then there's nobody to hate.
Well, true. But, like, think of how many more people would be on church on Sunday morning giving money if, like, they proved all of the stuff in the Bible was true. And demon possession.
Well, they're all on TV watching televangelists.
Well, I mean, that's even weirder.
Yeah.
But like if you had somebody, I don't know how reliable the Pope would be, but like the Pope is supposed to be like have the ear of God, right? Like isn't the Pope supposed to like talk to God directly? Isn't that
Yes.
The thing. Okay. For like the Pope to be like, all right, we're going to show you these of like demonic possession because we feel it's important that you know that like this shit's out there and that like this is what could happen to you if you didn't believe in the like God. Like,
right.
Like that would come off so much better than say a televangelist doing it. But like, still like you want to convert people to Christianity and prove that your religion is right. There should be mm-hmm. ways to do that in this day and age that nobody ever does.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have you heard of a miracle recently that like hasn't been debunked? Like if they could prove a true blue miracle, like you would think people would be like, holy shit, this is true. You know? And like, I'm an atheist and like every atheist that I know says the same thing. Show me that there's proof of God and I'll believe in it. But like, I need definitive proof, not just, well, the Bible says. But if I saw like verifiable proof of demons and like God casting that demon out, then like I might believe in God again. Like you would think that that would be a thing that they'd be trying to rally, especially young people now that, you know, to their cause, but they don't. It's all about faith. And I don't know.
Well, apparently there have been at least 4 miracles in the past month.
Oh, okay.
One in Portugal at Our Lady of Fatima, one in Lourdes in France, where a retired teacher crippled by rheumatoid arthritis for 15 years suddenly stood and walked free.
Okay.
And then 2 more attributed to Saint Charbel. He's revered by the faithful as the doctor of the sky. He was a Lebanese monk and priest.
Okay.
this woman in South Bend, Indiana, had an infection in her lower abdomen. The wound, the operation stayed opened and unhealed. A friend of hers from Lebanon brought her some oil that was, I guess, blessed by this saint. And she healed completely.
Okay.
And then there was another one in Lebanon. She had meningitis, had a tumor in response to medication. There was a picture of Saint Charbel hanging above her bed. She placed her hand on the image and asked for healing before falling asleep. The next morning, she went to the hospital for an MRI, and the tumor had vanished.
Okay.
So there's miracles every day. Just got to look for them.
But a hurricane wipes out a religious area of like, you know, 15,000 people, but God's okay with that.
Sure.
We're going to save the one person in a hospital somewhere with a open wound. That's not medicine and like science. That's God. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in India, the face of Jesus Christ appeared on the Eucharistic host.
Oh.
You know, the little Necco wafer you get at church?
Yeah. The symbolization of his body, that you're a cannibal and you're eating his body?
Yes, yeah. And drinking his blood.
And drinking his blood. No, that's totally normal.
Oh, wow. And there's actually a photo of it.
Oh.
And it looks like horrible AI.
Okay.
Let me send this to you. Oh, actually, this happened in 2020. Oh. Old news. But the picture is funny.
Let me see if I can pull it up. All right, hang on. if my internet loads.
See, you're a non-believer. That's why you can't see his face.
It's loading. Hang on.
Load?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What the fuck? I mean, I'll give it so at least it doesn't look like a white guy with blonde hair and blue eyes. Give him that.
Yeah.
But that's funny. So that just appeared?
Mm-hmm. It's from the website called Church Pop.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Oh, and the Vatican last year said it was authentic.
Oh,
it was confirmed.
Of course.
So there you go. You know, it kind of looks like, you know, when you get like M&Ms with like your picture on it for like wedding favors and shit.
Yep.
Hey, we're going to put your picture on the host. Amen.
How much you want to bet somebody did that and then snuck it in? How much you want to bet it was an altar boy who was like, let's see if we can make a viral story.
These idiots will believe anything.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, that was an interesting way to wrap up this week.
Yeah. All right. If you want to see this, what do they need to look up? Jesus appears on a Eucharist.
Sure.
It's probably worth looking at. It's pretty funny. Other than that, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
It's John.
Have a good week.
Gee whiz, what's a down on his luck private investigator to do?